Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Thou art permitted to speak for thyself." Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, which promise our 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead?" And I'll refer back to that in a moment. That'd be number one. "I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things concerning a contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which things I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. When they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities." And that number 11 is number 2. I'll refer back to that. "With authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven," that's number 3, "above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me," that's number 4, "and saying in the Hebrew tongue, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks.' And he said, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And I said, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee." That's number 5. Had a vision. "Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." That's number 6, justifying what he saw. 20. "But showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continued to this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come." And through verse 23, that'll be number 7, or 7 points that I'll briefly refer back to. I just wanted to break it down so you'll know where I'm at in a moment. He said that Christ should suffer, verse 23, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should shew light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Yeah, that's all the last point I'll give you. And then watch this. "And as he thus spake for himself, Festus, said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. I want to bring you a message tonight. I think I'm going to title it, Are All Christians Crazy? Are All Christians Mad? Before I try to do that, I want to pray and ask God to help me leave you with something good tonight as you go out of this place. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. And help me, give me utterance to speak. Encourage the saints of God, the people of God. And then suit a blessing to each one that's here to hear and to receive. Save that one that needs saving tonight. It's in Jesus' name I pray and ask it. Amen. He has said everything from verse 1 to verse 23 in testimony to a leader in the Roman Empire whose name is Festus, and he's giving him, if you please, his story about why he's where he is and what all happened to him. And Festus, being a true heathen, not knowing anything but polytheistic things, which means he was a Roman and he bowed to many gods, the sun, the moon, Jupiter. I mean, it didn't matter to them. They had more gods than Carter's got little liver pills. So Festus hearing, and Paul said, I want you to hear me patiently. So Festus, I can see him sitting there. And he's there in his court in his kingly gear. He's got his king chair there. He's in his chambers. And they're there in the tribunal. And he is listening intently and patiently to the Apostle Paul as he gives him this story. And the first words out of his mouth when Paul finally finishes is, man, you're mad. Much learning hath made thee mad. Now, Festus didn't know anything in the world about Moses and the prophets because he didn't study that stuff. But Paul was a Pharisee and had to know about Moses and the prophets, and he had to know about all those things that the Jews knew about. Now, Paul gave him a lot of credence there and said, now, I know that thou knowest all these things. He knew he didn't know any of that stuff. But he was making a good point. He was making a powerful point. And could I say this? Anytime you're preaching the word of God or speaking the word of God, you're making a point. I don't care who's listening to you. And Festus says, man, get on out of here. You're crazy, man. All you Christians, all you guys that born again, you guys are all crazy. You ever heard that before? So I thought it'd be nice to try to bring a message, put something together on, are all Christians crazy? Festus thought Paul was. Have you ever thought, now this is a loaded question. It's rhetorical. I'm not expecting you to answer this, but if you smile, you have given yourself away. Some of you can't hardly stand it right now. Have you ever done something in your integrity and your honesty, maybe you're cheating and lying ways, I don't know, and said, what did I do that for? I must have been crazy. See, the world thinks we're crazy. Sometimes we think we're crazy, amen? And so this Festus, he has the normal answer for the day. He says, man, I hear what you're saying, but I don't believe any of it. You're mad, man. You're not right. There's something wrong with you. And then I got to thinking about that thing all the way through the Word of God. You look up the word madness, and it's used in the context of someone that don't have all of his scruples, amen? And I'm surely not here. If you have an affliction, I understand. I've got a couple afflictions of my own. And I've wondered different times, am I going nuts? Am I going crazy? What in the world's wrong with me? If you raise seven kids and one of them's like Jeremiah,
Yeah.
I'm just messing with him. He did a good job today. But you wonder sometimes, are you going crazy? And am I doing this right? What did I do that for? Well, I pulled out in front of a car this morning. I looked. He was in my blind spot. I was getting off the interstate, turning there, and I didn't see it. I was yakking and talking, laughing, carrying on like I always am. Pulled right out in front of somebody. Bonnie said, there's a car coming. You know what I first thought? What, am I crazy? I almost got us killed. And I stopped. I wasn't going fast. So I stopped before the yellow line, double yellow line. He whizzed by, and he was waving or giving me, doing, I don't know what he was doing for sure. But I guarantee you, he thought I was crazy. I was kind of chuckling to myself. I got to preach tonight, man. Lord, you're loading me up. I know I'm struggling. I know I'm having trouble. But I know you've done some things, and maybe this boneheaded things that you've done, or you've tried to pull this off, or tried to do that, or tried to accomplish this, and maybe you never came to your senses quite quick enough, but there was always somebody standing around and said, man, they're crazy. That ain't never going to work. Well, I used to hear all the time, how many kids you got? 5. What are you trying to do? Repopulate the earth? And then the next year I go back. How many kids you got? 6. What's going on? You guys are crazy. Now look at crazy. Amen. Now not only on kids, but everybody has in their family. You can do something for the Lord. And maybe your family will look at you and say, man, they ain't never going to fly. They're nuts. They're crazy. They're nuts. I mean, I've heard it. You've heard it. It's pretty soon you're scratching your head saying, am I really nuts? Is there something wrong with me? Is the whole world right? And I'm the screwball here? I'm the nut screwed on the wrong bolt? What is it, man? And we get to second guessing ourselves, and we get paranoid, and we're looking around in church. Looking around, they're looking at me. You're looking around. And you're a little schizophrenic. One day you think you're a preacher. The next day you think you're a pauper. You generally are. You know, you're all messed up. And you get paranoid, you know, people's talking about me, people's, you know, looking at me, and you know, oh my goodness, what's wrong with that? Well, I'm describing the world, and it's everyday life almost, but I like what he said, and no wonder Festus says this. I told you, number one, if you remember, what's the first thing he says? Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? Now, here's a guy that didn't even believe in raising the dead. And Paul's trying to convince him, you knew about this anyway. I know you did. And he didn't know because he wasn't a believer. He was a pagan. And so Festus sitting back there, raises the dead. Yeah, you mean this Jesus Christ, that guy we killed? He was in on the killing. I mean, the whole Roman Empire was involved in it. It was a Roman crucifixion. He knew about what had happened. And he knew why Paul was there. Was he was preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And now he's trying to convince me that Jesus got up from the dead. He's right. So, yeah, Festus thinks he's crazy. You know, you can go out here in the world and talk to some religious people. And you can tell them, yeah, I serve a resurrected king. They'll look at you like you've got 2 heads. Free. What? You think, yeah, Jesus is the only one that defeated death. He's alive. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. You get to tell them that they never heard that stuff. I mean, you get around a bunch of educated people. And we used to go to University of Cincinnati during the free time. We'd go down there in free time in the middle. All the kids are out there in the summertime. And we'd preach to them. And being an artist, we'd set up chalk. And I'd chalk pictures. And I'd draw them 4 horses of the apocalypse. And they'd be looking at that stuff. And I'd have the black horse there and the white horse there and the pale horse there. And I'd have the red horse coming in there. And I'd draw a big old sword across that thing. And I said, you're going to see this if you don't get saved. And brother, there are people come up to me and say, man, you're far out, man. Look at him. Man, you're nuts. You know you're nuts. You're crazy. I'm thinking, that's just the book, man. And they didn't know, had no idea what was going on. You give them a gospel tract, tell them how to get saved. But at least it triggered some interest. But the world thinks Christianity or Christians are crazy. The world is saying with a loud voice, and did you notice what Festus said over here, verse 24? And he thus spake for himself, and Festus said, watch that, with a loud voice. Do you know that the world wants you to know loud and clear that it thinks you're crazy?
It thinks you're nuts. You don't have, you're not screwed on right. I mean, there's something wrong with you. It wants you to think that. And brother, if you let that thing bother you too much, you'll be in trouble. And my goal is to help you not ever think like that. So here, you realize to be called mad, all coots up there at the church, crazy, mentally ill, and many other things that belittle the born again. I pulled this up and I said, if you don't believe in global warming as an American or as a Christian, you're labeled crazy by the media. Amen. I'll do a little more research. Donald Trump appealed to the religious right, and the liberals now claim we preach a Donald Trump gospel. That's not true. I don't preach a Donald Trump gospel. I'm not saying he's perfect. And those that believe or have had a born-again moment, that's what the media says, deemed crazy. You know what they say about Pence? Because he says he's born again, he's a Christian, a child of God. Yeah, he's nutso. If you don't believe that, now I don't watch this show, but it come up in my research, The View. Now I got enough sense to know who's there, what's going on. I'm probably in trouble. I've done step away from the hole, lay the shovel down. You've dug yourself a hole. But boy, The View, they think Pence is an idiot, or anybody that claims to be born again, they think they're idiots. And they're just nuts, man. They're just nuts. Do you realize that all crazy people aren't locked up? You do know that. I'll get back to that message in a minute. You live around here. Back years ago, there was a place called Longview. Anybody remember that place? Not because you were there. They closed it up. I think they turned all those folks loose. Anyway, the guy back there, and they had a fence around the place. You couldn't get out, couldn't get in, guards and the whole. But they turned them loose. They were on out at the guy, hold that. I shouldn't even be going up and down these steps here. I've got bifocals on, can't half see, about half crippled, old, feeble. Got a hold of the fence. He's looking up through the fence, He's in there, man. He's crazy. He's nuts, man. This car pulls up on the outside, and the guys, how people look. They're looking at you. He's looking at them. And Derek said, man, pulled over. Something wrong with his car. He had a flat tire. Got out. Look at that, a flat tire. He got his trunk open. That guy back there, he's still got the fence. He's just giving it this, man. He's looking through, just watching. And he gets the spare out of the trunk, gets the jack out, jacks the car up, takes the lug nuts off. You ever take a tire off, you got them lug nuts, and he lays them there. And fooling around there, trying to roll that flat back in the trunk, and gets the other tar out, brings it around, goes to put it on, and looks, and he has knocked those lug nuts off into the sewer, and he don't have any lug nuts. And that guy's looking, the crazy guy is looking. Now there's three or four of them there. And they're watching him. And this guy out there is trying to figure out, what do I do? And man, he don't have a cell phone. There's no phone any place. He can't ask those guys. They ain't going to help him. And that guy said, why don't you take a lug nut off the front tire, one off the next tire, and then you get the four lug nuts, and that'll hold that wheel on and put that wheel on, screw them all on. That's pretty good. He said, man, you ain't crazy. What are you doing in there? He said, look, I may be crazy, but I ain't stupid. All the crazy folks aren't locked up. There'll be a time in your life you'll say, what did I do that for? Why am I doing this? How did I get involved in this? Why me? Why? I must be losing my mind. I can assure you tonight, the authority of this book, you're probably not. If you are a new earther, That all come up down at the ark. A new earther means you believe the earth is 6,000 years old and not 6.9 billion years old. If you're a new earther and believe the earth is 6,000 years old and not 6 trillion years old, then you're deemed crazy by the educated people, those monkey people. If you believe in creation instead of evolution, those folks, then the liberal world, the educated world, most of them, the humanistic world, calls you crazy. Now you're nuts, you Bible thumpers, you're all nuts. Most folks in the world get their information from some kind of national media, CBS, NBC, so on and so forth. So if you don't believe the mainstream media, you're crazy and probably just another Christian. Had a born-again experience. Now, that's the general take on the world toward Christianity. And if you go to church, oh, they're all nuts up there. They're crazy. So you get to thinking if you're not careful. So this thought of madness in people that believe in God has always been around. Take your Bible and go to 1 Samuel. In 1 Samuel, verse 1 Samuel chapter 21. And I know... Do you know sane people can act crazy? Every time I preach, it says the preaching is foolishness. God chose the foolishness of preaching. I'm sure I look a little addered to some folks, amen? But that don't mean you're crazy, amen? It means you're doing what you're... In 1 Samuel chapter 21, there's a story that is recorded nicely for us. But you look down about verse 10, it was at a time that David had already been anointed king in Israel, but he had not taken the position nor the throne yet because there was another king that had been anointed. This king was Saul, and Saul had drifted away from God and no longer was doing the things of God. And so Saul was a dictatorial type monarchy king, and whatever he said, that's how it went. And Saul disobeyed God regularly. Remember when he was supposed to kill Agag and all those people that he had when he fought that battle, but he saved Agag and the best of the flocks and all that. And then, and when Samuel come along and said, what'd you do that for? And he said, well, to offer a sacrifice to the Lord. And he said, but God told you to utterly kill everything. To obey is better than sacrifice. So Saul was on his way out when this began to happen. And so David was anointed as a young man, and he's been engaged with the Philistines. He worked for Saul for a while. He played the instrument in Saul's palace. He soothed his heart and his spirit, and the evil spirits left him. You know the story. And then Saul began to throw javelins at David. So David is on the run. He's out there running. And this is just before he hides in the cave of Adullam. Remember that? I think Brother Duty wrote a song on the cave of Adullam. And he had every opportunity to kill this Saul, who really was crazy, by the way. But I said sometimes sane people act crazy. Watch this. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servant of Achish said unto him, is not this David the king of the land? And did not, let me get my eyes focused. Did they not sing one to another of him in dance, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? And David laid David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands. Now watch this. And scrabbled on the door of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. Then said Achish unto his servant, lo, ye see the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of mad men that ye have brought this fellow to play
the madman in my presence, shall this fellow come into my house? And it was Doeg the Edomite, D-O-E-G, Doeg probably. The E probably flattens the O, and I'm not too good on that stuff. Some of you English majors, help me out. The Edomite remembered him and said, man, you didn't fool me. That's King David. And he was there to take the report back so they could kill David. But I wanted to show you now. You get the picture. David's up there at the gate, and he's scrabbling on the wall. Like he's writing something, but he has no pen, he has nothing. He's scrabbling like he's writing something on. You know, he's really playing the part well. And he's really not nuts. And then he begins to, I'm not going to do this, drool with spittle. Yeah, running all down his beard and dripping off. And you get the picture. But he didn't fool Doeg the Edomite. He went back and told on him, and David had to flee for his life. But I'm saying, look, it's easy for the world to see in whatever we do, if it be the things of God. In this case, it was on David's part. But the world's pretty quick to say, yeah, he's an idiot. They're all crazy up there. And I won't give you the rest of the story, but David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam, and goes and talks about his brethren, so on and so forth. But I wanted to illustrate with that all the way through the Word of God, there's somebody. And if you look the word madness up, it shows up again and again and again and again with people that's, boy, and the world plays in on that thing. But I want to give you something tonight that'll help us. Notice first the loud voice, and I already pointed your attention to it, that Festus used in declaring Paul mad. And that was in verse 24 of Acts 26 in our text. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. No matter how much racket the world makes in declaring you mentally incompetent or something wrong with you, you're addled or you're one of them born-agains. You've had a born-again moment, so they're nuts. Don't let it bother you too much. And that's why I want to lay this out, then give you those three things that Paul conclusively says about what happens to you when you get saved. And it's far removed from what the world says our problems are. Now, be careful. The whole house has to know. The whole world has to know, it seems like. Paul had given his testimony, so it seemed quite strange to a pagan Roman who did not believe in Jesus Christ. And that's why I lined out seven things. He saw the vision. He believed that Jesus raised from the dead, and this pagan leader, yeah, he's lost it, man. He's been out in the sun too long. You know, about the way it is today. But then I want you to notice, secondly, what he says in verse 24. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. He said, much learning has messed you up, man. You know, that's kind of the way it is. If you learn that Bible and you read that Bible and you start in Genesis, read Revelation, and turn around and do it again and do it again, pretty soon you get to knowing your Bible pretty good. And if you happen to be in a good Bible-believing church where they preach the Word of God and they teach the Word of God and they lay that thing out and give you Bible and give you verses and encourage you with the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit gets involved in that thing, you get a Bible education. You sit in a good church for about 3 years, you'll come out of that church with more knowledge of that book. I mean, if the pastor and the teachers will teach, then you get in the average Bible seminary today. You got that right here. And guess what the world will say? Much learning doth make thee mad. Where'd you get that? How do you know so much about Moses? You know, the world, they don't have the foggiest idea. They believe Jonah swallowed the whale. You know, they can get it all backwards, but they're going to call you crazy. Well, most of them don't even believe that the whale swallowed Jonah. So Festus was quick to tell him, "Much learning hath made thee mad." If you learn your Bible, if you love your Bible, if you know your Bible and can quote a handful of verses of Scripture to help somebody in a time of need, man, the world, man, you know, you kind of went off the deep end, didn't you? So you're a fanatic, ain't you? That's what they say. And then, thirdly, I want you to notice what happens with Festus. Verse 27, 28. King Agrippa, Paul saying this, "Believest thou the prophets?" Now, Festus had been around a while, and I'm sure he was educated in the things of the world and the things of his day, and probably was up on current events, and probably remembered John the Baptist and what he said and how they killed him, and how that all the Herod at that time tried to kill the babies and do all that. And Festus, he was right in with all those people and probably related to some of them, and he was a leader, and he knew about current events, so he knew something about the prophets, and they used to call John the Baptist a prophet of God, and you killed him, you beheaded him, you killed him. And old Paul says, "King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets?" That's a question to him. Now he's scratching his old head. He's just declared that Paul's mad, but he's got him scratching his head. "I know that thou believest." Yeah, you know what's going on. You know what? America doesn't have an excuse today. You can get a Bible in any dollar store. By the way, you can get a King James Bible in about any dollar store. You can turn the radio on and hear something about salvation. I mean, there's still people making broadcasts that's pretty good. And we have at our fingertips and our disposal today all kinds of media that put out the word of God and the gospel. Now, there's a lot that's not, but there's still enough going out that if you live in America, you could hear how to get saved. So America's without excuse. So he says, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Woo. You say, what was happening? Well, it wasn't the power of Paul. It wasn't the power of his testimony and how he orated that day in his own defense. That was the working of the Holy Ghost of God, bringing old-fashioned conviction to a man who was patiently listening to a man give his testimony about the supernatural ability of the Lord God to save his ungodly soul, and it was getting to him. And so the best way out of it, you guys are crazy. Almost thou persuadest me, almost. Well, what did that guy in hell say? If you'd send somebody back to tell my brethren about this place. And he said, they have Moses and the prophets. In other words, they can read it for themselves. If one came back from the dead, they wouldn't hear him. Now, who's crazy here? It ain't the Christian. It ain't the born again. It ain't the saved man. You say, well, that guy's going to prison. He's going to be killed. He's the one to, yeah, but this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Listen, sometimes we act like settlers. We're down here and we think this is us. This ain't us. So the world, and by the way, the Bible says the whole world lieth in wickedness. So sometimes we think we're going crazy, nuts, kooks. Or maybe we're even mad. I've been told I'm crazy. You ever been told that? Get over that one. And if you've ever taken a pill for any kind of anxiety or anything like that and let that slip out, and as soon as you say something just a little bold, he didn't take his medicine. Probably off his medicine. Oh, Christians deal with it. Amen. They deal with it. So here, have you ever thought about something and wondered, man, I know they're going to think I'm crazy. Sure you have. Or that's just a crazy idea. or somebody else will observe you and what you're trying to do for God and say, man, they're just nuts. They're crazy to try that. Why, that don't make a lick of sense. I remember when I loaded up in a pickup truck and headed for Texas. Say, where were you going? I was going to the Toromata Indians down in the state of Chihuahua in Mexico, where no man had ever gone. Now, I didn't know that when I went. Say, well, did your wife want to go? That's a pioneer woman there. She was ready. And she was heavy with child, and we went. You know what I heard from Christians? You're crazy. Nobody quits their job, loads themselves up in an old pickup truck that you put the motor in, and you're going to trust it to get you all the way to Texas. Yeah, and I got the motor out of a 67 Chevrolet upside down in a junkyard, and all the oil had run down into the valley and preserved the piston rings and everything. And I got that thing up, stood it back up right, fired it up in the garage floor. It run like a clock. I said, yeah, this will do it. And I stayed down there 2 years, drove that same truck all the way back home when I came back and sold it to somebody for a profit. But I was called crazy for going down there and doing that. Huh? They told Bonnie, you're pregnant. And yeah, you know who she was pregnant with? Jeremiah. You're going to miscarry this kid if you get in an old pickup truck, a 3/4 ton 4-speed with the grandma gear, and you bounce your way all the way to Texas. You better have your husband sit down and get a reality check someplace. He's nuts. So she told me when she come home, I'm not supposed to do any traveling because, you know, Jeremiah's, we didn't know if it was a boy or a girl, but as honoring as that pregnancy was, I was betting on a boy, just like the first pregnancy. Then we'd had we had a girl next, that went pretty good. Then the boy, that was a tough pregnancy. All the boys were tough. You say, what'd Bonnie say? She says, let's go, when are we leaving? She's always had that pioneering spirit, man. And then about halfway to Texas, I'm scratching my head saying, I'm losing my mind, man. I'm crazy. I'm going down here to try to preach to a bunch of Indians, and I ain't never seen them before. And we went in them caves and done all that stuff. And down in there, had a missionary take us in, and he patted me on the back, said, good luck, son. He said, nobody's got their language yet. How are you with English and all that? Well, I barely got out of high school in those years. And, oh, I've heard it all my life. You're crazy. You're nuts. You ain't right. Could I give you something tonight? Take your Bible, if you would, and turn to 2 Timothy. I just saw that this week. I never put it together like this before. And you know I'm teaching in the book of 2 Timothy, and I saw this, and I didn't get to it this morning, and I'm kind of glad I didn't. I wanted to preach on it tonight. But Paul is trying to encourage a young man in the Lord. And 2 Timothy 1:7. And when he says this, and it's written down, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. See, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying when you get saved, you ain't crazy no more, as this world goes. Oh, they think you're still crazy. They think you're worse. But the Bible says, no. When you get saved, and he was reminding Timothy, and he said, bring this to their remembrance. And he said, I want you to get this. He says, number one, you're given power. You say, why'd you go to Texas when you did? I prayed and asked God, what can I do for you? And it was like I was saying, here am I, send me. And we had a missionary come through and talk about building a boot camp and all that. And we just went and did it. I said, well, you were nuts. Yeah, been hearing that all my life. But God gave us the power. Watch this. You say, what kind of power? Take your Bible and go to Acts chapter 1. If you were here Wednesday night, Jeremiah covered this very verse. When you get saved. But ye shall receive power. When?
Well, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, what happens when a person gets saved? The Holy Ghost comes inside you. And watch that verse in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. They were waiting for the Holy Ghost, which would soon appear in the early church. But he appears instantaneously. When you get saved today, he comes on the inside to dwell and to live, to comfort, to teach, to guide, and to bring you power in the Christian life. Watch. He says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. I got news for you. When you get saved, God equips you with some Holy Ghost power. You say, what for? To be witnesses. To tell somebody else about Jesus Christ. You know, that makes you a pretty unusual person. And when you set out to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ, I never did make it to the Toramata, India. We got down there. Oh, we got down there to them. We went in their caves. We got their little dolls. We looked at them. We tried to communicate. The Mexicans didn't like them. Most Americans didn't like them. Nobody liked them. We didn't know what to do. I was told by Bully, what's the people that write, the translators, that you're going to have to go back to school, learn the language. You're going to have to tape the language. Back then it was cassette tape. Write it all down. But I said, man, I barely got out of school back in those days. So we come back scratching our head, but God had us right where he wanted us, there in the valley in Texas. We did 2 more years of Bible school. I continued to preach on the street, draw pictures, work in the flea markets, work in the church, work in the radio broadcast. You say, well, what happened to the Indians? God sent another man down whom we met, Jim Monday, who was educated, and his wife, she had the pioneering spirit too. I think she had a baby in the motel room. I mean, tough as nails. Now, you say, well, that was crazy. Yeah, they heard that too. Yeah. But he went into the Indians and he got the language and he interpreted and wrote the first New Testament for those Indians. You say, well, did you make the way? No. What I was doing, I was just listening to the Lord. He said, go. I went. You say, we didn't even know where you was going, man. How stupid is that? Yeah, I know. I've heard that all my life. But somebody went. In the course of my life, when I can see it and knew God was doing something just in the willingness to want to go, not in the power of the flesh, but in the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost of God. So when you get saved, the Bible says here, you receive that power to be witnesses. And then secondly, love. I like that word. And that's the Bible love. That's the love. Well, if you mark your Bible at all, you need to mark it. Galatians 5:22. It's the first word found that the Holy Ghost, the first fruit the Holy Ghost manifests in the saved person's life. He says in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And he goes on with nine other fruits of the Spirit, but the first one is love. You know, when you get saved, before you were saved, you didn't know how to love. You could identify with a worldly, lustful love. You could identify with a human-type love. You could identify with a mother's love that caused her to race into a burning building and get her son out, or a drowning child. You could get that part. But do you realize there's another love? That's deeper, wider, broader, and it's called the love of God. And you never tap into that until you get saved, because it's a godly love that comes from the Holy Ghost of God. So when you get saved, yeah, the world's going to point at you and say, man, he's crazy, they're crazy, she don't make a lick of sense. Little do they know, you've been imparted with power to be a good witness, and you've been given a love that no man understandeth. And lastly, don't miss this. This is why I preach the whole message. A sound mind. You say, what's he saying there, preacher? Is he saying before I was saved, I was nuts, I was crazy? Yeah, that's kind of what he was saying. Let's face it. If you as a lost person are content with your lost life, the fact that you live under condemnation, when you're going to die, you're going to hell, then you're crazy. You're not thinking right. But a child of God receives a sound mind. So we are given a sound mind in Christ Jesus our Lord. When we get saved, we start thinking right. So you're not crazy. The world is crazy and needs to be saved. I want you to go out of here tonight knowing that, no, I don't care what the world says. I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care what the doubters say. I don't care what the educated say. The Bible says, when you got saved, you got the power to be a good witness. You got the love of God. And you know what? If you could walk on water and it didn't have any love in it, it'd be worthless. Paul covers that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We won't go there. But I wanted you to know, you're of a sound mind tonight if you're saved. One mind, Romans. The Bible says a lot about that mind in Christ Jesus. When you're of one mind, only people that can be of one mind are those that are saved by the grace of God. One mind, Romans 15, 6. Of a same mind, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Of a willing mind, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12. Of a ready mind to do the work and ministry of God, 2 Corinthians 8, 19. Of humility of mind, the Bible says, Acts chapter 20, verse 19. There's a number of mindsets, if you please, that we see in the Word of God that only happen to the child of God, and you will not find them in that caliber in the world. Isaiah, and by the way, there's the double-minded in the book of James. There's the blinded in 2 Corinthians 4, 3, and 4. And there's the corrupt minds of the lost world. Yet that's the bunch that want to call you crazy. I got good news tonight. If you're in here saved tonight, you're sane. You have a sound mind. So what if I ain't saved? Get saved. Amen. And people say, well, man, it's hard out there. A lot of thinking going on, man. Well, the prophet said this in Isaiah 26, 3, and I quit. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. Ain't that what we want? Some peace of mind? Whose mind is stayed on thee. Because he trusteth in thee. Yeah, the key there is you got to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew says this, 22:37. And Jesus saith unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, be careful, and with all thy mind. Brother, when Paul told the Philippian people, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is good, whatsoever, and he goes through that whole catalog of things. He says, think on these things. Don't let the devil tell you you're crazy. Don't let the world tell you you're crazy, because that Bible right there says you're of a sound mind tonight. You say, well, I'm struggling. But isn't it good to know what God said? And by faith, you can take a hold of it and walk out of here and look at the devil. You may think I'm nuts, but I'm not. I trusted Christ. Hey, get used to it. If you're going to serve God, step out on faith, try to do something for God, something a little unusual, something a little different. Expect the backslid. Expect the lost world. Expect the educated crowd to call you crazy. But you're not. Tonight, I trust when you go home, thank God I'm not nuts tonight. Brother Phil, show me in the Bible. I'm sound mind. But let me say this. If you're not saved tonight, it would be nice to know that God wants to save you and he will save you. Jeremiah had such a clear message on man living under the condemnation of sin from the beginning of the fall in Genesis. And could I reiterate that? If you're in that condition and see yourself have never trusted Christ, never asked Christ to save you, then you are lost and you need to trust Christ. And could I say candidly, I better not say that. I was going to say, you're crazy. You know, I'm not enough. Let's stand with me, please. Stand with me. And Brother Jeff's coming with it. Somebody may have to step out. And, you know, stepping out doesn't always mean that there's something wrong. Sometimes stepping out and kneeling at an old-fashioned altar is kind of like the Jews did. They'd go in and pray and get something be heavy on their heart, and they'd get a hold of the horn of the altar. And brother, they weren't turning loose until God gave them a peace in their heart or showed them that he understood and he took care of all that. And sometimes it's just good to kneel and pray and say, God, thank you for being God.